Luke chapter 2, and as you turn there in your Bibles, would you please stand with me as we do honor to the reading of God's Word. And it came to pass that in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all the world went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told unto them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Father, bless, I pray, the reading of your word. May it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Father, as once again we contemplate the amazing reality that your son came to live in the flesh, to dwell upon this earth, and then finally to die for the sins of the world. Let us remember that although he came into this world through the vehicle of a virgin birth, a humble birth, that we cannot keep him in the manger because ultimately his goal was the cross. Now may your will be done and may your name be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. And all said, Amen. Would you be seated? Just for a few moments, let's think again about this story of the birth of Christ. I don't know if you picked up on the words of the last song. Restore the joy of our salvation, Lord. Because truly, a relationship with Jesus Christ ought to bring joy. Now, we talk a lot about the Christmas spirit, but frankly, if you've been to the mall lately, there's not a lot of Christmas spirit there. I'm amazed that some folks aren't shot over parking spaces in the mall. Because it's like as people are roaming around, all of a sudden they see one and man, the race is on. If you've been in the stores, you know that we have a lot of salespeople who, quite frankly, are overburdened, and if I had to deal with the public, which in past I've been in retail and know what it's about, I think maybe I would start carrying a gun to work. And then there are Christians who really ought to know what it's all about. We should. And we should be able to rejoice with great joy. But so many that I meet during the Christmas time are saying things like, I can't wait to get this thing over with. I don't know how in the world I am ever going to get everything done. and we're going from one store to another to buy gifts for people we don't even like because we are scared to death that they will buy us something and we will be embarrassed. And you would rather embarrass them when they don't show up with a gift, wouldn't you? I'm afraid in all of the hustle and bustle of all of the holiday traditions, and you understand that the majority of the holiday traditions have nothing to do with the birth of Jesus Christ. In fact, if you are visiting with us today, I hope I don't shock you. I've told my people this, that Jesus was not born on December 25th. He still believes there's Santa Claus too, so. I see so many of these signs. Jesus is the reason for the season. I think that's wrong. I think the season or the season that Jesus birthed is why there is a season at all. Jesus isn't the reason for the season. Jesus' birth should be what it is all about. And then I think of the fact that why is it that so often we delegate one day a year to remember the greatest miracle that ever happened, that a virgin conceived. And what she conceived in her womb was God. Now, you don't have to believe the Christmas story. You can believe anything you want to. But what if it's true? What if it's all real? What if what people have believed for the last 2,000 years is exactly what we are supposed to believe? I don't know about you, but I want to be sure that I'm on the inside and not the out. Because quite frankly, you know, if I believe it and it's not true, then I don't lose anything. But if you don't believe it and it is true, you've lost everything. Now, I think it's amazing that probably the greatest announcement ever made, that a Savior is born, was made to shepherds in the field. One reason why we know he wasn't born on December 25th is that it's too cold in December for the shepherds to be in the field. They're not out in the field in December. Maybe October, but not December. I want just for a moment to point out four things to you about the message that these angels had for the shepherds. It was a message of great joy. First of all, because it was to everybody, which shall be to all people. A universal announcement, regardless of gender, of economic position in life, of ethnicity, of the color of your skin. And by the way, our God doesn't deal with skin colors. He deals with people's hearts. Amen. To be all people, a thing of great joy. Secondly, not only was it universal, but it was personal. For unto you is born this day. We have lost something in modern English in the second person pronoun because to us, the second person pronoun singular is you, and the second person pronoun plural is you. So when I say you, I could be speaking to you, or I could be speaking to you. But in the Old English, you is singular and ye is plural. So unto you, personally, is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Now, in verses 10 through 12, actually, we find three times it's used. It says, I bring you personally good tidings of great joy. For unto you personally is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And this shall be a sign unto you personally. You see, God is very personal. The Bible says, probably you've heard it, the golden text of Scripture, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And I'm glad that God loved the world, but we need to understand that God doesn't love sunsets and sunrises. He doesn't love pastoral scenes or seascapes, that God loves people. When it says God so loved the world, it means that he loves everybody. But if we're not careful, we get lost in the sea of everybody. Because God loves you personally. Now, it's so easy to get mad at God. God, why did you do this to me? Or why are you doing this? And every time we think in that vein, maybe we got to say, God, why did you love me so much that if I had been the only one, you would have come and died for me? Not only is it universal, and not only is it personal, but it is crucial. This is an important announcement. For unto you this day is a sale down at Macy's. Now, if you have a Macy's credit card, that may be crucial to you. But for those of us who don't have the money and don't have the credit card, it doesn't mean anything. For unto you this day, the Yankees have hired a new manager, Aaron Boone. I thought I'd get something. But to be honest with you, if you're a Mets fan, that doesn't mean a thing to you, does it? But unto you is born this day in the city of David, he pinpoints it, a Savior. Now, I know there's a lot of other philosophies out there, and you can buy into them if you like, you know, that man is basically good. And if you believe that, then I ask you, why do you lock your doors? Why don't you leave your car keys in your car? Do you know I actually lived in an area where people did not lock their doors and left their car keys in the car until one day somebody walked into a lady's house unannounced and he was just there. So then folks realized maybe it'd be a good idea to lock their doors. You can buy into that, you know. You can also buy into this, that death ends it all. You can buy into that. But I'm going to tell you what I found. I found that when people are on their deathbed, because after 45 years of ministry, I have been at a lot of deathbeds. And I've been at the deathbeds of Christians, and I've been at the deathbeds of people who do not buy into Christianity. And at that moment in time, let me tell you something. They're looking for a better answer than there is nothing beyond. Someone said there are no atheists in the foxholes, and I believe that's true. But I will tell you this, if you're going to be one, then be consistent in it. And in that last hour, don't go looking for God. Okay? He said, well, that's not nice. The thing of it is you have an ample opportunity to look and find God right now. And he has already reached out to you. For unto you, personally, is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And I believe that that is the answer to your eternity and to my eternity. And you either accept it or you reject it. And then fourth, it is conditional. It is conditional in this way. Ye shall find the babe. You see, there are a lot of people that believe in what I would call optimistic universalism. That somehow it's just all going to work out for the good in the end, you know. It's like life is a Hallmark movie. And it doesn't matter how bad things go in the middle of the movie. There's always, you can market it. There's always going to be a happy ending to Hallmark movies. Isn't that right? And I'll hear about this when I get home, about Hallmark movies, bringing it up again. But let me tell you a little secret. Life is not a Hallmark movie. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that the wage of sin is death, eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You're not going to get it through osmosis. You're not going to kind of blend into it because maybe your parents believed or your grandparents believed. It is a decision that you have to make for yourself. And if you are depending on religion or ritual like baptism or church membership or your good works, you are depending upon the wrong thing. Because if any of those would have worked, there would have been no reason for God the Son to have left heaven and been born in a manger and eventually died on a cross. God could have said, join a church, get baptized, do good, nice things. But instead, he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.